Thanks so much, Greg and team. And again, good morning, everybody. Happy Easter. Welcome to First Colony. We're really glad to have you with us today. And in my Easter message, I want to be very straightforward. Present a message today called Jesus Wins. I plan to talk to you about life and death and the life to come. Okay? Everybody in the room wants to go to heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven. But the number one reason why some of us don't want to go to heaven, let's put this up on the screen, please, is the doorway of death. You got to die to get there. And that's the number one reason why a lot of folks don't really want to go to heaven today. But as Easter people, we can face and overcome our fear of what's beyond death. There's a fantastic statement in the Bible from 1 Corinthians 15. It says this. It says, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." In other words, He says, what? Jesus wins. Look at that statement again. That's a big statement. That is an epic statement, human words, but a majestic truth. And my goal today is to help you to fear less and really live more. Let me start with some observations about death, okay? First one is this. It's sort of a, I think, a contemporary mindset that says, if I don't think about it, it's not real. But the Bible says, a wise man thinks much of death, while the fool thinks only of having a good time now. That's not necessarily exhorting us to become, you know, morbidly preoccupied with death, but it's important to count your days and to know that there is a life beyond this one. I don't know if you've ever heard of a guy by the name of Christopher Hitchens. He is an atheist. A lot of people who know him say he's actually a pretty likable guy. He's terminally ill. His disease is a stage 4 disease, and in an interview he says, and unfortunately, there's no stage 5. He describes his approaching death. He says, it's like you're at a party and somebody taps you on the shoulder, tells you it's time to leave, but the party's still going on. And the people who are at the party say, oh, we'll remember you, but they won't. And he has absolutely no hope or concept or belief at all in an afterlife. Do you? Have you weighed your days? Have you counted your days? I read one time of a guy who, he was about 50 years old. He said, if I live to be 75, I've got so many Saturdays left. And he put that number of marbles in a jar, and every weekend he'd take out a marble. You say, well, that's kind of goofy. But he was reminding himself, my life is not a merry-go-round. My life is a journey, and I am moving towards a destiny. Well, some people think, well, you know, if I just don't think about it, it's not real. Second observation is this one. Death is really the great equalizer. The Bible says that both the wise and the fool both die. Rich, poor, bald, we all die. Death is the great equalizer. We're all on level ground here. Third observation, death will be a time of ultimate accountability. The Bible says, and just as it is destined. That word destined means what? It's a destiny. Think about it. There are so many appointments and meetings that you can evade. You can put them off. You can cancel. You can get out of it. But there is an ultimate accountability meeting that is a part of our collective destiny. And it's inevitable. The Bible says it like this, just as it is destined that men die only once, in other words, no reincarnation, and after that comes the judgment. So death is a time of ultimate accountability. Fourth observation, not necessarily a pleasant one, but a true one. Death will separate some. The reason that we need a Savior is that we are lost in our sin. And for those who reject or resist Jesus, the Bible says, bringing judgment on those who do not wish to know God and who refuse to accept his plan to save them through our Lord Jesus Christ. They will be punished in everlasting hell, forever separated from the Lord, never to see the glory of his power. Gang, forever is a long, long time, and I don't want any of you to dismiss this. I want you to contend with the offer of Jesus Christ and come to your own conclusion. Do I belong to Jesus or not? Have I given him my sin or not? Have I trusted in him or not? To use biblical terminology, have I received Christ? The good news is everyone can be forgiven. Everyone has hope. And none of us are beyond grace. But I would exhort everybody in the room, do not procrastinate. Eternity is at stake, and when you stand at a crossroads moment, decide for Jesus. Death separates some. Fifth observation is this: death will restore and reunite others. In other words, for believers, the end is not the end. The end's just the beginning. And the Bible encourages us with these words from 1 Thessalonians 5, and so, speaking of Christians, we will be with the Lord forever. And therefore, encourage one another with these words. And he's just been talking to them about the dead that they know who are now with Jesus. He says, we will be reunited and we will be with the Lord forever. Let me ask you a question. Who are you looking, Christian, who are you looking forward to seeing again? Who is it for you? A mother? A father, a sister, a brother. For some of you, it's a child. You'll hold that child again. I want you to picture being reunited. I want you to imagine relationships that have been rudely interrupted by death in this life restored. And there will be for all believers a huge family reunion. And you will meet, as the Bible says, a whole host of saints. A great cloud of witnesses. King David. I want to meet Mary. I want to meet Adam and Eve and ask, what were you thinking? I want you to take a look at a scene from a movie. Antoine Fisher. And the key character in this scene has no idea what awaits him as he walks through a door. But I want to show you this scene because I think it gives you a glimpse, an illustration, a picture of a heavenly reunion. The Bible even pictures heaven as a place where it's a real place, real people, resurrected bodies. We even eat together. And there's even one particular meal called the marriage feast of the Lamb. It's a picture of God's ideal society. Well, take a look at this movie scene and allow yourself to imagine a heavenly reunion. That gives you just a little bit. You know, Jesus often used illustrations and analogies and earthly things to paint a heavenly picture, and hopefully that paints just a little bit of a picture for you of a reunion. That God loves his people. God loves fellowship. And we will have all eternity to celebrate the fellowship that we enjoy in Jesus Christ. Well, our resurrection is made possible because of Christ's resurrection. And let me just put it up here on the screen that Christ is risen. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed with profound implications. The Bible affirms this from 1 Corinthians 15. If only for this life, we have hope in Christ. We are to be pitied more than all people. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. In other words, he was the first with many more to follow. Gang, the resurrection is not only good news, it's true news. It's true news. I hope you believe it. And if you're not sure, that you will investigate. The resurrection is not afraid of your questions. It is not afraid of your investigation. Thomas Arnold was once a professor of modern history at Oxford University, and he said these words, "No one fact in the history of mankind is proven by better and fuller evidence of every sort than this one. Christ died and rose from the dead. Well, there's some questions that we may have about our resurrection. And here's one question we may have. Will I be better off? Really, will I be better off? And what does the Bible have to say? Well, reading here from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Bible has these words, and I think it paints a beautiful picture. For instance, we know that when these bodies of ours are taken down like tents and folded away, they will be replaced by resurrection bodies in heaven, God-made, not handmade. And we'll never have to relocate our tents again. Sometimes we can hardly wait to move, and so we cry out in frustration. But compared to what's coming, living conditions around here seem like a stopover in an unfurnished shack, and we're tired of it. The certainty of your resurrection changes everything. It means that you can actually live your life here and now with freedom and joy and passion, knowing that you'll die, but knowing that you will rise as well. And that resurrection life is far better than this life. You will experience the world as God intended for you to experience it forever with Him and with His people. Jesus transforms life now, and it only gets better when this life comes to an end. Will I be better off? Yes. Second question, what will our resurrection bodies be like? That's a legitimate question. The Bible even responds to it. It doesn't give you a complete answer, but it responds to it. But someone may ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? Well, how foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And when you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. And he says, in essence, you're going to have a resurrected body, and it's going to be you, but it's going to be a new and improved you, a brand new you. Verse 42, so will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that's sown is perishable. It's raised imperishable. It's sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. It's raised in power. It's sown a natural body. It's raised a spiritual body. And if there is a natural body, there's also a spiritual body. He says, in essence, after the resurrection, you're still going to be you. You'll be like your present body in ways that you love and you can recognize, and unlike and better than your present body in ways you will absolutely love. Your personality will be refined. It'll be beautified. The resurrected body will be set free, and it will be actually released to enjoy all of its fullest dimensions. A redeemed people in redeemed bodies in the presence of our Redeemer. And then he says, in essence, Jesus gets the last word in all of this. Death has been swallowed up in victory. And so where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm and let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. I love that last statement, because he says, your resurrection is coming. Your life here is temporary. But rather than viewing your temporary life as unimportant, he says, put down deep roots. Make this world a better place. Give yourself fully to serving Jesus here and now in this temporary assignment, because everything you do here counts. You give a cup of cold water to somebody in Jesus' name, He sees that. He knows that. And when you get to heaven, you will be saved by grace, and you will be even rewarded for all the simple little, what you thought were hidden acts of service, but Jesus noticed. Will I be better off? Yes. What's my body going to be like? Better. Better. Can I be sure? Can I be sure? Yes, you can be sure. And no, you cannot be sure. If your confidence is in yourself, no, you will never be sure. You will never have a sense of joy. But if your confidence is in Jesus Christ is worthy to be your Savior and more than sufficient. From John chapter 11, the words of Jesus, he says, I am the resurrection and the life, and the one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die, will never experience a second death. Do you believe this? To the elderly person in this room whose health is frail, you do not need to live in fear. You have a resurrection coming. Whatever bad news you may face, if Jesus is your Savior, you have a resurrection coming. Whoever you are, if you've taken that all-important step of faith, if you've crossed the line to be a follower of Christ, you have a resurrection coming, and the Father's arms are plenty strong. He's not lost his power. He is the resurrection and the life. You can be sure of that. 1 John chapter 5, and this is the record that God has given to us. This life, this eternal life is in his Son. And he that has the Son has life. And he that has not the Son of God does not have life. But these things have I written to you that believe in the name of the Son of God so that, get this, so that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. This certainty of eternal life is an anchor to your soul. And one more scripture. For there is no difference between Jew or Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. My friends, Jesus Christ is alive right now. He ascended back to heaven. He is seated on a throne. He is ruling as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He hears your prayers because he is alive. He saves people from their sins today because he is alive. He's coming back again. He is preparing a place for you. He is alive. He reigns, never ever to die again. God became a man. That's Jesus. He lived without sin. He died in our place on a cross. He was buried and 3 days later raised to life again. And he is returning again to establish and set all things right. Now, you may never ever be ready to die, but you can be prepared. And what I would say to you this morning is that this is that Jesus is just it, he's not someone you can be neutral about. You must make a decision here. Do I believe Jesus is alive and reigning? Or do I believe that maybe he's just a good man or a good teacher? I would ask you, do you see your need for a Savior? Who do you say that Jesus is? And have you experienced his grace? Have you turned to him in faith and repentance and baptism and discipleship? Listen to Jesus. Follow Jesus. Worship Jesus, because he is the resurrection and the life. Jesus came to give us life and to give us life to the full in every possible way. At the end of the day, Jesus wins. It's his world, it's his way, and when you really look at the depths of his way, it's an amazing way. And that's why we call it amazing grace. You have a hope, my friends, and it is a living hope, substantiated, validated, verified, by the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead himself. He was the first, and you will follow as his disciples. Now then, let me ask everybody in this room to take out your order of worship. And on the order of worship, there is a communication card. On that communication card, I'm going to ask everybody to fill it out. There's a place there where if you have a prayer request, you can write out a prayer request, and our church leaders would be happy to pray about that this week. But some of you may be at a decision point in your life where you're saying, you know, I'd like to talk to somebody about my faith. I'd like to talk with somebody about taking that next step of baptism into Christ. You can indicate so on that communication card, and we will be in touch with you at your invitation. We would be more than happy to sit down with you and help you take your next step as a man of God or a woman of God. Everybody's got a next step. I've been a believer a long time, but I've got a next step. For some of you, your next step may be come back to church next week. Start reading the Bible. For some of you, your next step is to be baptized into Christ. For some of you, your next step is to kind of reconnect with the church family and get engaged and involved. Everybody has a next step. What's yours? What's yours? Now, why don't you take a moment, fill out that card, and when you've completed it, just pass it to the ends of the aisles. Our ushers will collect those cards momentarily, okay? I'd like to lead us in prayer, and then we're going to sing our concluding song with, you know, a lot of octane, a lot of volume. Let's bow and pray, and then we'll sing. Lord God, I pray for those today who want to believe and who are close. And Lord, I pray for those today whose hearts may have become a little distant from you. Would you come, would you draw near and just love us back to life and health? Lord, we're meeting on a Sunday because it's the day of your resurrection. We're meeting as a church because we are the collection of people who are gathered in your honor. And we meet with hope in our hearts. We meet with songs of victory because we know, Jesus, that you have defeated Satan and sin and death and hell and grave, and you are the triumphant King. And we know that even though we die, we rise to be like you according to the Scriptures. Lord, I thank you that this world is not all there is. And Jesus, we long for that day where sin is no more. But in the meantime, we ask for your grace to live as your people in this culture here and now, to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. And Lord, for those whose physical bodies are frail, for those who wake up every day with aches and pains and so much uncertainty, I pray that the resurrection of Christ and their own eternal salvation would just change the way that they look at every single day. Lord, the one thing above all in which we rejoice is that our names can be written in the book of life. And you make it all possible. We thank you for that. In Christ's name do we pray. Amen.